Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Greatest walk-up music we have. And it belongs to Mark Gonzalez. You can read him in the Daily Herald. You can hire him to write for your publication, website, blog, whatever you need. He is a deluxe baseball expert. He joins us on the Scores Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Gonzo, how you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. Got my flu shot today, so I think I'm okay for the three batter minimum.
Oh. All right, we just want you to make it through the interview, and then you can go lay down and be Dave the Cat. Basically, be Mark's version of Dave the Cat, and like that. So, last night's version of Dylan Cease scares me, because I think he scares the opponents as much as he scares the White Sox. And as a member of the playoff rotation, how would you line up your White Sox playoff rotation?
Wow. I was exchanging messages with our David Haw for the last 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And one thing to keep in mind is I think you got to treat Rodon with kid gloves. So having said that, I would line it up with Lance Lynn game one, Rodon game two, Giolito game three with an asterisk, and Cease game four.
So
there are enough days off between games two and four where you can bring back, you'd have enough rest for Lynn in game five, unless you want to roll the dice and go with the lefty who everybody is piled on.
So why Rodon in game two as opposed to Giolito?
Because if you win the first round, then you have Rodon game one, and then you have the option, check and see how he feels, to bring him back for game six or seven of the ALCS. How's that?
Okay.
Does that work for you, Stevie Sunshine?
Yeah, that's fine. I was just breaking down some how they would do, and we're all in agreement, or you and I are anyways, I'm about Lance Lynn game one. You want that. He knows what he's doing. It looks like it's going to be the Astros, and He's got a 4.41 career ERA against the Astros and a whip of 1.347. That's not a good start. And I didn't know if it would come down to you. Pitching game three would mean the game one, the first game in Chicago, and whether that would matter more having Giolito throw it or having Rodon throw it.
I don't know. I still think, regardless of where you're pitching, it's still like Rodon game two, and then three, probably Giolito. I really like the way Giolito seems like he's got that high fastball going pretty well again. That's a good sign.
So Dylan Cease last night, I still find him to be a little bit of an enigma because he of course, everybody says furiously he's got the best stuff. And I obviously, just because he has the best stuff, I mean, you just said it right. He's the fourth man in the rotation. Had a terrific night last night with the 10 strikeouts and a coast of a win. But he did have 50 pitches through two innings last night. There's always something with Cease. Where do you think that Dylan Cease maxes out in his career, Gonzo? And which comp do you like better to him, John Garland or Gavin Floyd?
Oh, wow.
You like that?
Oh, wow. Boy.
That hurts.
Gavin Garland?
I mean, Garland had a pretty successful career. You know?
Yes, he did, but he didn't have the strikeout potential that Gavin did at times.
Yeah.
The thing is, you knew Garland had a knack for smelling that finish line and wanting to go as deep as he can. I'm not saying Gavin didn't, but John was more reliable in that area. I still think if you go with Cease in game four, you're probably going to have to go to the bullpen maybe a tad earlier. And then it goes to game five. You have that day off after game four. So if you're the White Sox, you hope it doesn't go to a game five, but you have that cushion there of a day off where the relievers can get some semblance of a rest at this point.
Our guest is Mark Gonzalez. You can read his baseball thoughts in the Daily Herald, and he is one of our deluxe baseball guests here. And
he's still thinking about John Garland and Gavin Floyd right now. You realize that.
I don't know. You're right. Man, you stoked some.
John Garland's got a ring and was part of a momentous four-game series that was just stunning. You brought up the relief corps, the bullpen. How are you surprised by what's going on? Do you see progress here? You worried about Kopech, how Tony La Russa handles Kimbrel, what Kimbrel's going to bring wherever he is. How does this line up for you, which was the one thing everybody believed was going to be the greatest bullpen ever, and then when they got Kimbrel at the trade deadline, it's even better still. Now it's all settled. It seems one of the more unsettled spots on this team, or do you see reasons for great optimism that I'm missing?
Well, I can tell you it's going to be a fascinating final 11 days of the season, assuming they clinch on Monday or Tuesday at Detroit, because I think Tony will start working those guys in certain situations and then have a pretty good idea of how he wants to use them in the playoffs. Having said that, there are certain guys you'd like to see more consistency from, but I think in this case, Tony's going to be thinking about matchups down the road. Who does he want to face Correa in a certain situation? Alvarez. The Astros have pretty good balance in their lineup. But I think in the case of the White Sox, you want to do what's best for you and go with your best. It might not necessarily be a left, even though, you know, Bummer and Crochet give you two good options there. So I just think it's TBA at this point, but I think once they clinch, look closely at how Tony uses these relievers in certain situations. And, you know, they've gotten their share of work. That's not the issue. It's how he envisions using them in specific situations. Sort of like what Joe Maddon did with the Cubs in 2016, the final 2 weeks. He got criticized for treating it as spring training, but I think he did the prudent thing there.
Yeah, the team that the Joe Maddon era, which you covered very closely. We saw a Cubs game last night where the Brewers beat the Cubs 8-5. Let me ask you about Cody Hoyer, because I think it was Rick Sutcliffe last night during the broadcast who said that he thinks something, so I don't want to misquote him, but something to the degree of this guy is special and he's going to be great for years to come for the Cubs. Now last night wasn't a great example because he ended up walking Jose Urias with the bases loaded, but what do you think about the Cubs' closer situation going forward? We saw a couple of candidates in play yesterday in Hoyer and Rowan Wick. Neither succeeded, but both are probably candidates.
Yeah, I that's a pretty good observation, and I expect that to continue in the final 2 weeks as well, especially in the case of Rowan Wick, just getting innings, making up for the loss of innings, and one, getting that feel back for his pitches, especially the split. You know, his fastball's right there, but you know he needs some work, some other pitches. But I think he's definitely a viable candidate for closer. I mean, you remember, 2019, we saw at the end this guy had some special stuff, and you're thinking, down the road he could be that guy who takes over for Kimbrel. And at the same time, Hoyer, I think the Sox were thinking the same thing at one point. So. Those are two pretty promising options, but they still got to get the work in and show that they can do it. Not to diminish the role of setup guy, but there's plenty of setup guys because, one, they're pretty good, and, two, they can't close. So I think these guys are trying to give David Ross and the staff some kind of answers.
Our guest is Mark Gonzalez. You can read him in the Daily Herald. He's our deluxe baseball guest. What in the Cubs lineup? Which players do you believe? Which would you trust? Well, I mean, you never know. This season really, they just, you know, the bottom falls out, and then they help push them over the side, and then, okay, there's no pressure. That's always a consideration. But there's pressure on guys who are getting a shot at the majors. So right. You've seen a lot of things happen, Gonzo, but it still comes down to what do you believe as pointing towards next year? What's true, what's not, do you think?
Yeah, you can get fooled easily in September by somebody tearing up the ball and then gets the spring training in the last 2 weeks, sees an abundance of curves and can't square one up. But, you know, having said that, just avoiding the obvious guys like Contreras, I would say I think Wisdom's got a shot. I think he's got to cut down his strikeouts, but certainly – this team needs power, and he provides it, so that offsets some of the strikeouts. Schwindel has earned, I think, at least a part-time role at first base and with a chance to win that role. One guy that's really, I shouldn't say grown on me, but the things I heard about him have really started to crystallize somewhat is Rivas. And I know people will say, well, he doesn't hit for power and all that, but the one thing that's been lacking in this organization for the last 3.5-4 years is the contact rate and putting the ball in play, and this kid's got a chance to do that. We've seen signs where he's not trying to yank the outside pitch to the right field. He goes with it and flicks it down the left field line. He's got a chance. He can be a seasoned hitter pretty quickly. Those three guys come to mind right now as far as I think you can hitch your horse to the post.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, you know, based on what those three guys are doing, it's hard to make an argument against them right now. But I think one of the bigger problems that the Cubs have is not just trying to win again sometime soon. It's the team that they're playing tonight, and it's the Milwaukee Brewers, and they go up against Corbin Burnes, who is, you know, a great symbol of a three-headed monster of a Brewers team that could be good for years to come. Is there any reason to think that the Brewers, like, for the next 5 to 7 years are going to be the class of the division?
Well, I think, first of all, they got to keep those guys healthy. I didn't like the way the Brewers handled Corbin Burnes in 2019. They kind of jerked them back and forth between Nashville and Milwaukee, kind of curbing his service time. But he's really become a very, very good front line pitcher. I mean, he'd be an ace on most staffs, but they got Woodruff, and then don't overlook Peralta as well.
Of course.
I think they've done a great job of mixing and matching. You know, they started the season with Keston Hira as their first baseman, and he has struggled. He hasn't been up since. And then they had Vogelbach there for a while. Had to move a lot of guys around. Council does a great job of finding right guys at the right spot. They really jumped the market, too, getting the Adames from Tampa Bay, and he's pretty much, I think, saved their offense, saved their season. It's going to take a lot for them to continue doing that and being a force in the division. I still think they have a chance to do so with the big three, but you know, I still think this is a curious division because, you know, here are the Cardinals that are now the leaders for the second wild card spot, and they were essentially in the same spot as the Cubs around late June, and look what they've done compared to what's happened to the Cubs. So, you know, the Cardinals have only had, like, what, one division title the last 5-6 years, but, you know, they're always around. So I'd pause a tad on Milwaukee only because a lot of things have gone right for them outside of their pitching, and that's tough to continue all that, pushing the right buttons. But on the flip side, they did this without Kane for most of the year. Yelich has been banged up, so I give them a lot of credit, but it's tough to sustain the manner in which they did it. Same for the Giants on the West Coast. I mean, they've pulled a lot of rabbits out of their hat, but here they are, two games up with about 15 games left.
That's why we watch. Gonzo, thanks for your time. Stay healthy.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Bye, Mark.
You too. Mark Gonzalez, you can read him in the Daily Herald. You can hire him to write his deluxe baseball stuff.
He is deluxe. I got a warning, just a quick warning for you, Steve, and for the listeners. Yeah. Dave the Cat is up, and he is demanding entertainment right now. You may have heard a couple meows in the background, but just a Dave the Cat warning. He needs his string.
Well, we do have some entertainment for Dave the Cat and the rest of our Saturday Suckers listening audience. And at the top of the hour, we'll have Bears All Access here on this radio station. 3 p.m. to 5:35, Rami Makhlouf will be here, and 5:35, Cubs pregame. And I did not want you to miss this opportunity. Bears pregame show tomorrow, 9 to noon, there'll be Mully, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley. It's presented by Bet Rivers, the official sports book of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers app today. But first, normally we would have Wagner. This is about the time we'd have Wagner. But for your entertainment purposes,
yes,
it just seems to be a preponderance of our love of Norm MacDonald and things he's created and echoes of voice impressions and just things we talk about here. So we're going to do that. We're going to do our tribute to Norm. Long live Norm. And we'll take a break and come back with all that. Sound okay? You look
sounds
forward?
Incredible. Norm, no, Norm's that cool. Sounds great. And I will entertain my cat during the next 3 or 4 minutes during the break.
Tell him to listen to this here radio station. Why don't you put the earbuds in Dave the Cat's ears, and he can hear all of the good Normness.
How you feel about that, Dave? He's just staring at me. He's like, I don't know. What? Just give me food. Okay. All right.
Okay. I'll let you feed them. Saturday sucked, but you figured that out. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Welcome back to Celebrity Jeopardy. Back again, Burt Reynolds in a commanding lead with $14.
Hey, check out the podium. Look at this.
Mr. Reynolds has apparently changed his name to Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, that's right. Turd Ferguson. It's a funny name.
Great. Let's take a look at the final board. Mr. Reynolds, what are you doing?
Yeah, I found this backstage, oversized hat. It's funny.
No, it's not.
Sure it is. It's funny. It's funny because it's bigger than a, you know, a normal hat.
I see that. Get back to your podium.
Norm MacDonald, the late Norm MacDonald, passed away this week. He was 61. Norm MacDonald on Celebrity Jeopardy. And he was Celebrity Jeopardy. It wasn't just a funny turn as Burt Reynolds changing his name. Norm MacDonald created that. And he often remarked, because Mark imitates that Alex Trebek, right?
Right. All you have to do is say the number one, and you will win the game.
Right. This day is mine, Trebek.
That's Mark Grody as Will Ferrell as Alex Trebek.
Right. It's a third generation. It's kind of hackish. You're right.
But the sound, the plaintive part of Will Ferrell's and Mark Grody's Alex Trebek impressions was what, in Norm's ears and eyes, sold it. He said it was the empathy that character held and hold, and just the hopefulness, like somebody could get one thing right.
Please.
And that was what made the whole thing stick together when Sean Connery is drunk and saying and choosing a category, the penis mightier. No, the pen is mightier. But
mightier,
it was always
right.
It was the humanity and the empathy, the pleading, plaintive way that Will Ferrell portrayed it, and that was Norm Macdonald's part of it. And so we have often referenced Norm Macdonald on the show, and we are going to, at least this show's version of the greatest hits. Mark, your request, we needed to play this because you wanted it, so share with the audience.
Yeah, so this is one that in all the montages I have heard people playing bits here on the score or just watching retrospectives on television, I haven't seen a lot of the Norm Macdonald as David Letterman, which he conquered this impersonation.
Now, well, let me tell you this, Robert. I saw Marvin's Room, and I have to say, just a fine piece of work, Robert. It's a great cast. You got Meryl Streep, Diane Keaton. Oh, and you know who I particularly enjoyed in the film was Chong.
Yeah, he was good. He was very good. That he is. He's good.
You hear that, Paul? He enjoys Chong.
you two have a good time. I'll give you that. You know, it reminds me of the time that Marty and I were making Taxi Driver. We're filming Taxi Driver. Marty turns to me. He says,
"Oh, let me guess. Probably said this. Probably, yeah. You enjoy the shrimp? Yeah. You enjoy the shrimp? Hey. You know who I bet really enjoyed the shrimp? Chong.
So perfect.
And Alex Baldwin is Robert De Niro.
Hey, Paul. Hey, you got any gum? Hey, what's going on? Oh, it's so good.
So the one of the more one of the best known parts of what Norm did was he hosted the ESPYs, and he was eventually removed from Saturday Night Live. Not that he wasn't funny, it was because he refused to stop. He continued to do O.J. Simpson jokes because O.J. Simpson jokes were funny, and that's what Norm's job was. His job was to write comedy, and he eventually would get removed because of the O.J. Simpson joke, but he did have one for the ESPY audience, and here you go.
Charles Woodson, how about that? And what a season he had. Right, man. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy, and congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you, unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case...
It's a great joke.
I love
this
what audiences...
This week at the O.J. Simpson trial, the infamous bloody glove was finally introduced into evidence, and O.J. didn't help his case any by blurting out, "There it is, I've been looking all over for that thing."
I forgot about that. The
ESPYs thing. I love when crowds don't know what to do with a joke, where they don't see it coming. Oh. So they're like, their instinct is to laugh. It's almost involuntary when you're watching a comedian, but they're like, wait a second. While they're laughing, they're going into their moral place.
Because somebody's dead, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Two people in that case. Right. What is it? Death plus time equals comedy or something like that.
Yes.
So it's I don't know when that was relative to the OJ death.
Later.
Yeah.
This was a death plus time. The time was only a week.
It was a week.
Trash Panda, I don't know where was the Steve Irwin.
So this is a different thing, Grody.
This is crazy.
When he's he was on the Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Yes.
And this, my favorite part about this is when Jon's begging him to stop. But yeah,
I wanted to talk about the crocodile hunter.
Did you?
Because I think
you're gonna make him sad.
Because I think it was tragic at the time, but I think. I don't know. People calling me, man, they're shocked. Oh, hey, you wouldn't believe it. Who got killed? The crocodile hunter.
Please don't make me laugh at this.
He was 44 years old. I'm like, that's a ripe old age for a crocodile hunter.
That's not.
And you know who had to be pissed about it were the crocodiles, because he got killed by some fruity fish. And so the crocodiles were like, hey, man, that crocodile hunter got killed. Who did it, Frank? Nah, you don't even want to know, man.
Please don't do this anymore.
Bill, man, you had a chance once. The guy go, man, I had a chance. I had that He was Tommy with a stick. I could have eat him and his kid.
I don't feel good about this.
You remember I ever tell you that story, Bill? Yeah, only a thousand times.
That's true.
That's so good.
It was tragic at the time.
Tragic at the time.
Yes.
Yeah. He wasn't afraid. Normie.
What makes it so funny is, like, he's not really being insensitive. He makes it, like, he's being objectively funny. It's just the timing of it.
Yeah.
That's the way it went. A comedian named Alan Strickland Williams, who I'd not heard of, but he showed up in my Twitter feed in the wake of all this, wrote this, and he wrote this tweet in a Norm MacDonald voice. Norm MacDonald passed away today from a 9-year private battle with cancer. He is survived by his son, his loving friends, his adoring fans, and everyone else who isn't dead. That's a great joke. That's a great joke to honor Norm MacDonald.
You know I got to tell you, your on the spot Norm MacDonald is not bad.
It's impeccable.
Yeah, it was actually. I'm serious. It was actually pretty good.
Well, we're trying. I just sort of channel my inner older Al Pacino and yell, but that's what Norm did. That's how you knew he was at the punchline.
So since we're on the top, like you guys have seen Dirty Work, right? His movie with Artie Lane.
No,
I have not.
Oh, you guys got to see it. That's just like I watched it the day that he died. That night, I watched it. It's just like the quintessential like Norm MacDonald comedy. I mean, it's really like right in the wheelhouse of that like late 90s stupid comedies, like similar to Adam Sandler movies, but it's a Norm MacDonald movie and it's like hysterical because he's clearly not even trying to act. And Chris Farley's in it, makes it like just a typical Chris Farley cameo. Artie Lane's hilarious in it. Like it's just the whole premise is Norm MacDonald is just kind of this like, life's kind of beating him down a little bit at this point in his life, and he's like figuring out that he's really good at getting revenge on people. It's like the only thing he's really good at. So he starts a revenge for hire business. So people just come to him and hire him to get revenge on other people.
Like, wow, the premise is great. The funny thing about Norm MacDonald is, and I'll include that movie because I don't even remember when that movie came out. That, like,
might have been
Norm
early
MacDonald,
90s. I can't remember.
Okay. All right. But yeah, that's the.
Obviously, because Chris Farley was still alive. So.
Yeah, right, right. But Norm MacDonald, like, he's never really been part of great successful things, but everybody still loves him and he's hilarious. He had that sitcom Norm for a while. I don't even remember a single episode of it. Saturday Night Live, obviously he wasn't on long and he got fired from it. You just mentioned that movie, which I don't even remember, but so it's like it's hard. Like, his best stuff was just doing his stand-up or being a guest on a show. And obviously we could pull lots of his great SNL stuff, but it seems like it was hard to find, like, what do you tell somebody to watch if you want to, like, really give them, as, and I'll use the word studs use, quintessential Norm MacDonald. Maybe studs just gave us an answer there.
I would say, yeah, Dirty Work is up there, or just, I mean, anytime he was on with Conan, it was gold.
Like, yes, yeah. Yes.
That was just pure gold because he had this way of making Conan break that was just beautiful.
Right, and they both come from the Saturday Night Live background, and they have a writer's mentality. So, yeah, I could see that, or I have seen that work very well, those two.
A texter, and our text line, our text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. 773 notes something that I had missed. I'd forgotten about this. Upon the OJ acquittal on his SNL update desk. Well, it's finally official. Murder is now legal in the state of California.
I forgot about that one.
That's a great joke.
I can just see, like, the SNL boss is like, okay, you know what? We've had our fun. It's time to tone it down a little bit. And then Norm just leans into it further.
He always seems to be one of the things that you have to watch a variety of things. And this is what makes some of the more talented people that if they don't do one thing particularly well, his understated smirking at the camera.
Ooh,
whatever
that's
camera
good.
It is, he seems to be. He's all right. You're in on the joke. We're all in on the joke. But watch this.
Yes.
Joke. And that well I always said. Got that feeling from him, and the delivery, while sometimes loud, was also there was snark to it. There was a sense of okay. We're all in on this joke, and it's not going to be a surprise. And here we go. I always thought that was the. Part of the charming thing and one of the amazing parts of it that you see in whatever he was doing. I haven't seen the movie that Trash Panda was talking about, but I imagine that's kind of the same thing. He's probably Trash Panda. Is he smirking along in that too? Is he
Of course. Yeah.
There you go.
Always.
I would like to read a text message here too from the 206. When I was 12 years old, I thought the two funniest things on earth were Norm on Weekend Update and Steve's Tribune column. What else would anyone need?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Set the bar higher, but I appreciate that.
No, your stuff was great, man. It always was. All right. No fear in Rosenblum.
We do have one more Norm piece we're gonna play. It's a cookie. You stick around to the end, and we'll play you the Norm cookie. One of the more famous things he has done, and again, you talk about smirking as he goes along telling this joke. And again, as you guys said, this was with Conan, so this is the nexus of all that it is. We got to take a break, and when we come back, we will finish out this rousing edition of Saturday Suckage. He's Grody. I'm Rosenblum. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
God bless and go Bears.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody, coming up top of the hour. Bears All Access will follow us. We have a Norm MacDonald cookie for you for making it this far into Saturday Suckage. But I also wanted to share this with a class. I don't know if you saw this, Mark, but this is what Steve heard. Jameis Winston, the Saints, torched the Packers. and in post-game interview on the field was asked what spurred him on. What did the coaches tell him about this?
How did the defense and the running game give overall shape to the way this played out, Jameis?
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
One thing my trainer said, he always is, what? Be prepared.
Okay. I think anybody out there was like, oh, interesting. Very, so be prepared. That's very good.
Never thought of that before, guys. Be prepared.
I'm going to put that up on Instagram as an inspirational message because that's what people do on Instagram.
I'd like to have that laminated for my wallet just as a daily reminder.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Steve.
No. This was on Mully and Haw earlier in the week. Mike Lombardi, the Odyssey insider. And he was talking about the vaunted Bears defense that gave up massive plays, gave them up in a hurry, and he was talking about, he was asked his view of that.
I mean, you have to be honest with yourself. I mean, I think the biggest concern that I had going into the Bears season, everybody focused on quarterbacks. I kept saying, are they any good on defense? I mean, they might be the most overrated defense in the league. Everybody thinks they're good on defense, but are they? I think that's the fundamental question Bears fans have to ask. I mean, before you unravel the quarterback mystery, are they good enough to win defensively? And I think what you have to do as an organization is before the season starts, and certainly after the first game, to sit down and say, how do we play a game to win the game? Like, what do we have to do to highlight our strengths? What are our strengths? And then formulate a game plan around that. And we just can't go out and play. I mean, they're just not as good defensively. Khalil Mack's not the same player he was when he came to Chicago. You know, they don't have the same pass rush that they did. They can't control the game with the defensive front. I mean, you give up 34 points in 24 minutes. I mean, you know, what are we talking about here? So I think that's really where you have to focus.
He's right.
Well, that'll be the focus tomorrow, won't it, Mark? With Alec Ogletree saying the Bears defense lacked energy. Mike Lombardi saying they're overrated.
I mean, like, he's right, though. The national perspective of the Bears defense since 2018 has stayed on, oh, yeah, the defense is great. No need to worry about the defense. Like, they're not looking. I mean, they're obviously zeroing in on what is right in Justin Fields and the Andy Dalton debate, but they have no clue when it comes to what's been going on with the Bears defense. And that, like I said, that's danger when you don't have defense. Like, there's no backup plan to that defense because they're all, a lot of them are made men, a lot of them have been paid, and that's the defense that was supposed to be good and the reason that you won games. And they will have their – I got to tell you, man, without Eddie Goldman again tomorrow, which is the way it's certainly looking, like I fear what – not just the obvious Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins thing, but, you know, Joe Mixon – had 29 carries for 127 yards. They will give the running back the ball a lot, and I haven't seen a lot of reasons to suggest in the past couple of years that the Bears will stop a really good running back.
Well, we will check back if nobody important listened, we'll be able to do this show again. In the meantime, we'll dispense with the usual closing ceremonies, and Mark and I will leave you with this Norm MacDonald cookie. It is the famous moth joke on Conan O'Brien. Stay healthy, everybody.
Now, not all your material comes from the news. Is that right?
You know, my strongest material comes from real life.
Real life?
Like, for instance, today I was driving in a car. Mm-hmm. You were kind enough to bring a car to bring this old chunk of coal here to the studio.
We send cars for our guests, yes.
Yeah, so I got in it, and I get material that way. So my driver.
What do you mean? How do you get material that way? You get in the car, and what happens?
My driver tells me a joke.
The driver we sent to pick you up told you a joke.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell it now on the show.
Yeah, that's how I get a lot of my material.
Okay. Why don't we just have him on next time?
Wait till you hear me do it. So the guy, he goes, I say, I'll be the guy.
Okay.
A moth goes into a podiatrist's office.
A moth goes into a podiatrist's office.
You are correct. A moth goes into a podiatrist's office, and the podiatrist's office says, "What's the problem?" And the moth says, "What's the problem? Where do I begin, man?" He goes, "I go to work for Gregory Linovich, and all day long I work. Honestly, Doc, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I don't even know if Gregory Linovich knows. He only knows that he has power over me, and that seems to bring him happiness. But I don't know. I wake up in a malaise, and I walk here and there." The podiatrist says, "Oh, yeah?" And the moth goes, "Yes." And he goes, "At night, I sometimes wake up, and I turn to some old lady in my bed that's on my arm, a lady that I once loved, Doc. I don't know where to turn to. My youngest, Alexandria. She fell in the cold of last year. Mm-hmm. The cold took her down, as it did many of us. And my other boy. And this is the hardest pill to swallow, Doc. My other boy, Gregorio Ivanilidovich. I no longer love him. As much as it pains me to say, when I look in his eyes, all I see is the same cowardice that I catch when I take a glimpse of my own face in the mirror. If only the cowardice was stronger, then perhaps I could bring myself to reach over to that cocked and loaded gun that lays on the bedside behind me. And end this hellish facade once
and for all. How long a drive was this? Do you live in the valley? Where do you live? Please, sorry.
He says, "Doc, sometimes I feel like a spider, even though I'm a moth, just barely hanging on to my web with an everlasting fire underneath me. I'm not feeling good." And so the doctor says, "Moth, man, you're troubled. But you should be seeing a psychiatrist. Why on earth did you come here?" And then the moth said, "Because the light was on."
So, Norm.
What?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.